Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the 19th century, there was an English pastor by the name of Charles Spurgeon in the area of London, and he went out to visit one of his elderly members, who was apparently quite an aristocrat, very wealthy woman, very pious, very religious. And during their discussion and his devotion with her, he was talking about how all of the faithful will be in heaven, seated together. And she said to him, "I'm not going to have to sit next to my maid, am I?" And he said to her, Madam, if that's the attitude of your heart, you don't have to worry about being near your maid in heaven." The Pharisee in our text teaches us a lot about our sinful human nature. And yet, before we pass him off, let's consider who this man was. He was probably inviting Jesus to his home because he loved to talk theology, wanted to talk about the things of God. And he knew that Christ was someone who cared about that and was preaching and teaching like that. He was known, as all the Pharisees were, for loving what was moral and right, for caring about the things that deal with the commandments of God. It was his desire that the people of his day hold on to the teachings of Scripture and that they not let them go and cave into the pressures of their culture. In a lot of ways, you and I probably would have felt pretty comfortable being in this guy's presence and in his house and in his discussions. This is somebody that really cares about God. But he also demonstrates to us a potential problem for those of us who love the ways of God, and that is this. There is a dangerous lure of self-righteousness in us. There's a dangerous lure to be prideful in your religiosity when you consider yourself, especially in regard to others. If you think about Jesus' little parables that he often tells, and many of these types of examples we see in the Gospels, so often he is highlighting this problem in the deeply religious people of his day. It's one of the pitfalls of possessing faith. It's one of the dangers for us as Bible-believing Christians. And the temptation then becomes that we are less appreciative of the grace of God that has had to rescue us and save us. The sin of pride is so deeply embedded in my sinful human nature that I can even be sometimes proud of my moments of humility. That's how deeply embedded our sinfulness is in us, and this pride is in us. And the more inflated your impression is of your own personal spirituality and your own religiosity, the more inflated your view of yourself is in that regard, the further you move away from Christ and away from the grace that saves you. And I think there's a special warning here for us today. Sitting here in 2013, we lament, as we should all the time, how much our culture continues to slip away into immorality. It makes us sick, and rightly so. There is a lot of garbage that's going on in morality, especially when it comes to sexuality. And we have every right, as believers in Christ who love God's word, to be sickened by that. But Along with that comes a tremendous temptation to view ourselves above the fray of the world's evil and to imagine that somehow we've got it so right by ourselves and our lives and how pure we are. God, we thank you that we are not like other people. We thank you that our church body is not like other church bodies. There's a great temptation of self-righteousness in us, and that's aimed right at our hearts because of the evil that we see around us. Luther says this about this man: notice how quickly Christ stripped this man of his own righteousness. So today, if you are filled with pride over your own spiritual pedigree and background and the wonderful Christian life that you are living, then come to the classroom of this prostitute and sit at her feet and learn true religion from her. Nothing gladdens the heart of the Son of God more than to wipe away the tears of a penitent sinner. Listen to what Jesus says to Simon: her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. As if to say, just look at her. Look at how she is responding to my grace. Just look at the gratitude that is overflowing in her. It is very evident and clear that she realizes that her hope of getting to heaven can be found only in me. You see, her thanksgiving toward Christ is a result of what Christ has done for her. It is not the cause of her forgiveness. I remember when I was in high school, I came into one of my friend's dormitory rooms. I went to a Lutheran high school and lived in a dormitory. And I remember in 12th grade, I came into his room to get him for lunch one day, and he had just come back from the mailroom, and he had a big box on his bed, and he was opening it up, and it was full of little presents inside. And I said, wow, what'd your mom send you? And he said, it's not from my mom. It's from a little boy. I said, who's that? And he says, well, back when I was in about 7th or 8th grade, I saw about a 3-4-year-old boy who was drowning out in a lake near my home. And I went out into the water and I grabbed him and pulled him back to shore. And now every year he and his mom send me presents for rescuing him. Could certainly tell his appreciation and how deeply he was grateful for having his life spared. If you had a horrible medical condition, and the more you learned about how difficult that medical condition was and the potential for causing you to die, and then found a surgeon that could somehow remove it from you and heal you from it, the more you know about the potential danger it would pose you, the greater your appreciation is going to be for that doctor. The further down that the Holy Spirit must reach to capture the sinner's heart with the grace of Christ, the greater the level of gratitude will be in that person who is rescued. And so take heart today as you consider this woman at Jesus' feet. If you've fallen into a sin that is so bad that it causes you to feel great despair before God and wonder if you'll ever get to heaven, there is no sin so deep, there is no evil that has occurred so frequently and so often in your life, there is no level of immorality that cannot be covered and reached by the forgiving grace of the Son of God. And true believers in Christ rejoice to see other penitent sinners reached with this saving, precious gospel. A bishop in Norway, Nils Locke, said this: whoever learns in his sinful need to know this saving love and experiences it daily is not offended at the Lord's mercy toward other lost sinners, but adores it and loves him more. So may we say and sing with the hymn writer, thanks we give and adoration for the gospel's joyful sound. Amen.